So, hopefully you guys got your Bibles or you turned to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So in Joshua chapter 1, really, we see the leadership of the nation of Israel being handed to this man, Joshua. Was previously in the hands of Moses. I mean, the first couple of verses, we find out Moses is dead. We'll talk about that. But just to get in your guys' minds, you know, Wednesday nights we're with Aaron, we're going through Leviticus. You know, so you have Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Right after that's the book of Joshua. You know, the Exodus, you know, chronicles, you know, the Exodus from Egypt. And the second half of the book of Exodus really describes the temple and everything going on in that. Moses hears from the Lord on Mount Sinai. And the book of Leviticus, like we're going through, that just covers a month period. And that's that same month is when, you know, Moses is up there on Mount Sinai. That's the whole book of Leviticus, and that's where we're at right now. The book of Numbers really deals with the other 38 years that Israel wandered through the wilderness. We'll talk about that in a second. And then, you know, Deuteronomy takes place right before this, right as the children of Israel, right at the edge of the promised land. Moses kind of signs off. And the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, if you guys were to flip back a page, you see the leadership being handed off to Joshua from Moses. So that's where we're at right now, guys. The children of Israel, the nation of Israel, they're at the edge of the promised land. They've come all this way. They're on the other side of the Jordan. And this is a big deal. It's been 40 years since they've been taken out of Egypt. You know, the sad thing is, well, you know, the Lord sent Moses as a deliverer to bring them out of Egypt. It was really a two-week journey. I don't know if you guys knew that. A two-week journey from Egypt to the land that they were promised, the land that they were promised to their fathers. Unfortunately, it took them 40 years to get there. So what's with that? Really, it comes down to, we're at this point in Joshua, 38 years before that. You know, Joshua, he picked out 12 guys, 12 spies, and he says, all right, guys, go spy out the land. Just we're going to encourage the people to take it, to trust in the Lord. Send out 12 guys. These were heads of all the tribes, of each tribe. Really, you know, reputable men. And for 40 days, these 12 spies went out and they spied out the land. And if you guys remember that story, it's in Numbers. They came back with a big pole, you know, like on a shoulder of a guy, and it was just this massive cluster of grapes. And they had all these massive other pieces of fruit. And they said, hey, check it out, promised land. You know what I mean? Imagine a string of grapes this big around and, you know, on a pole. I mean, just a land of promise, a land of plenty. But then there was a large group of them that says, guys, there's giants in the land. They're huge. We only come up to their waist. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they got walls. They got big walls, big people, big walls, big cities. They even have double walls. And these 10 men, really, they discouraged, just these 10 men, they discouraged the whole nation of Israel. So the whole nation was like, ain't no way we're going in there. We're Moses. This is crazy. We cannot go in there. We're going to get smashed. And the response from two of these other spies, they tore, when they heard that, these two men, they tore their clothes. I mean, that's just it was symbolic of grief. They tore their clothes and they said, are you guys kidding me? Like, the Lord is for us. We should take the land. And then it says that those other 10 men in the nation of Israel, to those two men, his name was Joshua, the other, his name was Caleb. They said, kill them, stone them with stones, shut those guys up. And really for that, guys, 38 years had to go by before the children of Israel were going to get to the point that we're at now. Obviously, Joshua's still around. God said, there's not any of you guys, you know, above the age of 21 that's going to live to walk, go into the promised land, except for Joshua and except for Caleb, because they trusted in the Lord their God. So I suppose we're going to look a little bit into Joshua's life. But, you know, let the scripture speak to us, and, let's get started. So, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. So it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I do give to them. And he said, even to the children of Israel. That's who he's giving it to. And so that's where we're at right now. He's at the edge of the promised land. The first big hurdle is crossing this Jordan River. You know, and this is a role that, you know, Joshua has been handed by the Lord. And you can say, well, how the heck did Joshua get there? How the heck did he land himself into this role? You know, we look at a role like what Joshua has, a role of leadership, you know, and we'd say, man, that's the role I want. That's like a really prominent role. And it does look great. And I know that as Christians, we can envy and we can seek after those types of roles. You get the person up here that's speaking, the pastor or the teacher. And it's the role that usually gets the applause, it gets the pats on the backs, you know what I mean? It gets all the attention. And I get how that can be desirable, but that's only one role that the body of Christ has. I mean, we know this, right? And we know that there's other roles that the body has. But you guys remember what the scripture says, that the roles that we think, that we deem as less desirable, the ones that we think are like, man, that's just, you know, it's a small role. It's really insignificant. I can't, why would I even do that? Well, the Lord says that there is more abundant honor placed on that role. That is more important than you know, the big ones that we think are more notable. So think about this, guys. You know, an important question I ask you guys is, you know, have you considered your place in the body of Christ? You know, what your role is? Because I can tell you guys, you know, God, he saved us by his blood. Praise God. But we are all to serve the Lord. We're all members of the body, right? So consider your calling. You know, what does the Lord have you to do? Joshua, I don't think Joshua, when he first came out of Egypt, man, he had no clue that one day he was going to be the one in charge after Moses, all that Moses did and said. But what does it say he was? It says he was Moses' minister, and he was a servant. And so we know a minister, you know, he wasn't Moses' pastor. He was a servant. And so we look at that, and we say, man, all Joshua did, he just, you know, faithfully did what the Lord put in front of him to do. So you say, well, I got this little bit of service I can do at the church. I got this little bit of, you know, whatever, but it's really insignificant. I don't even know no one even really needs me to do that. Well, time out. You know, just serve the Lord, man. You know, do what God has put in front of you to do. I mean, you ain't on a seat to the end of it, but the Lord will build on top of that. You know, the Lord will, you know, as we're faithful in the small things, you know, he's kind of faithful in the greater things. So just consider that, guys. Your role in the body. If it's going to function, if we're going to function how we should be pursuing that. So seek the Lord on that. You know, what do I have to do? Maybe it's only serving one day a week. Well, then do it, you know. Joshua, the first time we see him in the scriptures, you know, like I said, he was just Moses' minister. He hung around him. When Moses was thirsty, he got him a cup of water. When he's carrying around his scrolls and his pen, and he's like, Joshua, get, you know, whatever. When he's given all his counsel, he's like, well, tell me about this guy. You know, he, you know, lost his thingamajiggy, and this guy's blaming him for that, you know, that huge long line at the end of the day that Moses would have to do. He was just a minister, man. And then when that nation of Amalek came up, like Paul talked about this past Sunday, he said, hey, Joshua, I trust you. You're my servant. Go lead the army and defeat them. And he was like, yes, sir. And he did that. And then afterward, he was just his servant. He just stuck by his side. He just did faithfully what was set before him. So I would just challenge you guys with that. I don't care if it looks like a small service. You think it's insignificant. It's not. We don't see what the Lord's going to do with it. You know, by the grace of God, you know, he sees the end of it, right? He calls the things that are not as though they were, right? He sees the finished product. So, you know, I just really encourage, you know, don't look at, you know, the prominent roles that we think are more honorable. You know, Joshua was trained up in secret. The same could be for you. You don't know what your role is going to be. The Lord could be training you up in secret also. So let's just consider that. Let's read verse 2 again. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people to the land which I do give to you, I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Notice, in God's eyes, it's already happened. It's past tense. He says, as I said to Moses. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun. He's talking about the Mediterranean Sea. West, if you didn't know where the sun went down. He says, that shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Let's look at a couple of things here, guys. The fact that God will not fail, you know, it's one of his attributes, part of his character. And if you guys shout that out, if you guys know what aspect of his character that is, we have one word for it. You know, he doesn't fail. You know, he's immutable. He doesn't change. God never changes. He started a good work. He's going to finish it. So those times where, you know, we've heard God promise us something way back, and we say, now, well, look where I am now. I'm a long ways off from where I was. I don't see how, you know, God's going to finish this work he started in me. It was a long time ago. You know, I started down a path, and man, I've really gone off track. You know what I mean? You know, God doesn't change. God says right there, I will not fail you. The fact that God is immutable, he never changes. As we praise God, you know, as we pray and pray to him, I think it's important to praise God and to worship him. Man, that's a rock solid place to start. The fact that God does not change, man, what's worshiping from that? This world that we're living in right now, it's rapidly changing, and there's a lot of craziness going on. But the fact that our God never changes. He's a rock. Let's consider that. Let's think about that. He does not forsake. He says, neither will I forsake you. Jesus is the one, first of all, that taught that life is precious. He gave value to the individual life, right? That's what Jesus said. And he would go after the one sheep, you know, over the 99, which is so cool to me. Our nation, we used to believe that. I think we still do in some ways. But, you know, the saying, you know, no man left behind, like in war, that's what set our nation apart. Because there's, you know, a body laying over there. We're with a fierce attitude. We're going to go get it. And if you stand in our way, good luck. You know what I mean? And so we've had that attitude. But, just thinking about stuff, I'm so glad these guys are going to be coming back from this conference, from this seminar. About security, I've been doing classes at UMM, and there's this little poster on the wall. It says, like, if there's an active shooter, if there's a situation, you know, it says, it gives you the order, and then it breaks it down. It says, number one is run, hide, then fight. And I'll tell you why that just annoys the heck out of me. Because it gives you step-by-step in order, all the steps you're supposed to do. And it's like, if someone's injured, or you're ahead of the group, don't go after them. Don't rescue them. If someone's injured, leave them. Lock yourself in a room. And once you've locked yourself in a room, and it's just, it's crazy. What this goes through, it's just, it's insane. God says, I will not forsake you. I praise God that he never changes. Just let you guys know, you know, there's plenty of servants here that would lay their lives down for the sheep. So let's pray that these guys come back safe and sound and can just teach us some stuff. In verse 6, let's continue. He says, be strong, Joshua, and of good courage. For unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. This was a promise all the way back to Abraham. If we remember, he said, Abraham, the land you're standing on, your children are going to have this land. And I was taught this, guys. Courage, it's not, you know, having an absence of fear. It's not like, all my fear's got to go away before I go do this. No, courage is the denial of my fear. I'm going to deny it. You know, I say, no, I'm not going to bow my knee to, you know, my fear. I'm not going to bow my knee to my culture. You know, what they're going to, you know, fear me into doing or complying with. Heck no. You know, it's a denial of fear. It's a trusting in the Lord, courage. That's what biblical courage is, guys. And so the Lord goes on to encourage Joshua as he gives Joshua this charge, his first major thing. And just so you know, guys, that term, be strong and of a good courage, he's going to say this like four other times in this chapter. The first time that he tells Joshua in front of Moses that, hey, Joshua, you're going to take over, that's exactly what God says to Joshua, even back in Deuteronomy. We see that in Numbers. So this is something that Joshua had to hear over and over and over again, which gives us an idea, right, of the type of guy that Joshua was. Probably timid, probably fearful, but man, the Lord used that. So let's hear it tonight. As we hear God's encouragement to Joshua, you know, let's hear it as an encouragement to us. So in verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Let me read this again. For under this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So what do we look at? What is the Lord trying to say to us here, guys? We're looking at the book of Joshua. We're talking about the nation of Israel. But I think there really is something that the Lord's trying to present to us. We, like the nation of Israel, we had an Egypt. You know what I mean? We were, like just like Israel, in bondage to a cruel master. The Lord, for the Israelites, he sent a deliverer. His name was Moses. We've had our own deliverer from Egypt. His name is Jesus Christ. A better deliverer, in my opinion. But that's it, guys. So just as we're, liberated from our Egypt, right? And then we've seen salvation, and we come to that place where we're saved, we're freshly saved, and then we're going to enter into the promises of God. I think this is what the Lord's trying to say to us, guys. And then we're coming up against challenges that we never came across before. I mean, the guys in the front row could testify to that. You're coming across things that you didn't even know were in you. It's icky, dark stuff that's there that you have to deal with. There's giants in the land, God's land of promise. And there is, guys, there's spiritual warfare as a Christian. If anyone ever told you that being a Christian was the best thing in the world, the easiest path to go, it's not the easiest path to go because it's against the current of this world. That's why it's the difficult path to take. But just like Israel, guys, we have this period of wandering where we don't enter into the promises of God. You guys hear me? So there's times where we don't step out in faith and follow the Lord. And we have these periods of time where, man, it's just a school of hard knocks, just wandering and wandering, never putting our trust fully in the Lord. Yeah, saved, but never living a life of faith. And what's with that, guys? I think God's merciful and that he brings us to that place. We can get to the edge of the promised land. And we see our big Jordan rivers. And we're like, that's a huge river. That is big. I can't do this. I can't. But the Lord says, be strong and courageous. I'm with you. So, guys, just as with Israel, there's a time where we start to walk by faith as a Christian. That's the difference, guys. That's what sets us apart. From our world. We walk by faith. We see the promises from a long ways off. We're convinced of them, we're sure about them, and we follow after it. Look at Hebrews 11. And I will say this real quick before we move on. We see God's mercy, and then you guys remember the story of Lot? He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God showed up. We'll get there Sunday morning eventually. And he's going to destroy these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God said that their wickedness has come up before me. I'm going to destroy them. And these two angels came in, and they're like, hey, Lot, guess what? The Lord's going to destroy this city, man. You got to get out of here. The Lord wants you to get out. And it says, as he's like, we're leaving now, we're leaving this morning. And it says, Lot lingered. He was just lingering. I don't know what the heck he was doing. He was like dusting his shelves or getting snacks. I don't know what he was doing, but he was lingering. Okay, he was lingering in his sin, in the situation he was in. And then it says, so the Lord, the angels took Lot by the hand, took his wife by the hand. The other angel took, daughter number one by the hand and daughter number two. And it said, the Lord being merciful brought Lot out. So we've had those times, guys, right? Where the Lord is just merciful. We're in a situation, we know we need to get out, but God, by his mercy, he brings us out, you know, by his strength alone. And we can just, you know, like salvation. We can only attribute that to God's strength. So we have those times. But there are those times, too, where God says, hey, I'm with you. This is what you got to do. I'm with you. I'm walking right next to you. But you have to step out in faith and do it. So I don't know what the Lord's, you know, speaking to you about tonight. I don't know what the Lord has you to do. Maybe it's whatever service you have to do to the Lord. But just recognize, guys, you know, it's a choice to step out in faith. You know, no one's going to, you know, there's times, you know, God's, he's not going to take your hand and lead you through it the whole time. Of course he's with us, guys. Of course, I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about striving. And I'm talking about, you know, walking out in faith. So in verse 7, we pick it up in the middle. He said, which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do all this. He says, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. He's talking about all the law that Moses gave him. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left so that you may prosper wherever you go. You know, the Lord Jesus, our Lord, said this very same thing. Let me just read this real quick. This is in Matthew chapter 7. Let me find it here. Verse 13. Jesus said, enter ye at the narrow gate. He says, because wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. He says, because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. He says, many there be which go in at that wide gate. Because it's easier, guys, if we're honest. You know, we're in the world. Man, it's just you know, don't make any waves. You know, don't go along. You know, what does it hurt? You know what I mean? Don't you know, rock the boat. But that's not what the Lord's saying to Joshua. He's saying, don't turn to it to the right hand or to the left. And you'd say, well, that's really strict. And we say that all the time. Yeah, it is. It's narrow. Narrow is the way, man. But he's saying, so you can prosper wherever you go. In verse 8, he says, this book of the law. He's talking about these first five books, right, the Torah. He says, this book of the law shall not depart, it shall not leave your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Because then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So that this act of meditation, you know, we've been taught, we know, we're not talking about, you know, Eastern meditation. You know, everything is associated, you know, with the Hindu religion, with yoga. I would say, guys, to watch out for that. That's a major focus of yoga. I don't want to, whatever, if you guys are into that, but whatever. But that's a major part of it, guys. This, you know, and this is—it's coming back into the church again. This whole meditation thing, you know, emptying your mind, focusing just on your thoughts. Okay, and this is not at all what God and God's Word is talking about. Here, we are instructed to meditate, but let's look at what he's saying. He says, "Don't let the book of this law shall not leave your mouth, but instead, you shall meditate therein day and night." So usually our word for meditation, it's talking about, you know, we say to chew the cud. It's like a cow. It eats something, and then it chews it and swallows it. Then it brings it back up, chews it, swallows it. And it does this cycle. Well, most of the time, that's when we talk about the word meditate. This is what we're talking about, but not in this case necessarily. This word meditate, it's, you know, talking about a mutter. Even translated like a growl or to speak. Okay, what is this saying? Meditation. How do I meditate on God's word? How do I meditate, like he said, so that you can observe to do all the word? Man, meditation involves speaking. This is what he just said. Don't let this leave your mouth as far as like, don't be quiet, but meditate, but speak the word of God day and night. So maybe just a practical, bit of advice. You know, as we go through our day, meditate, you know, on God's word. You know, the just shall live by faith. the just shall live by faith, and meditate on it, communicate with the Lord on it. According to God, meditation isn't emptying your mind of all thought. It isn't being quiet and having no noise and thinking about God even. It's, you know, speak with God all day. And really the goal, guys, it still is to get to that word and make it practical and break it down into a simple, applicable form and do it. And that's really the focus, right? It's so that, Joshua, you may observe to do according to all that is written in the word. So when I take the word and I meditate on it and I talk with God about it all day, and it makes it easier to do the word, right? Of course, we all know what James said, right? He said, you know, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. If you're hearer only, you're deceiving yourself. You know, because if you're just a hearer and not a doer of the word, you're like a man, you're likened to a man that's looking at his face in a mirror, and then you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, okay, I understand, I get who I am. And then you walk away, and it says you forget what manner of man you are. But it said, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, right, which is this. You know, it says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. So, you know, to break down the word of God, right, to make it simple, I look at it, talk with God about it, you know, and we don't want to just be idle here, we just want to hear it, but man, let's do it. Let's do the word of God. Let's put it into action. He says, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Just awesome exhortation. Here's this famous verse, guys. Here it is. Verse 9. He says, Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong, with good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is coming from the Lord himself. It is a command of the Lord, right? You know, we sing that song, strengthen our feeble knees. You know, that's not as so much as a call to Lord, God, strengthen my knees. That's more like God saying, strengthen your feeble knees. Get up, you know, get up. Praise the Lord, serve him. Have I not strengthened you? Be strong, of a good courage. Don't be afraid or dismayed. That word dismayed, you know, really, like we say, oh, that person's deflated, right? Kind of like a balloon, like you lose it. You know, it's like if I see an approaching army and I melt because of what's in front of me to do, because it seems impossible. It seems like, man, I'm not going to get through this. There's no way. You know, that's what the Lord is encouraging Joshua about. He says, because don't be like that, because I am with you wherever you go. And that's really, it's specifically saying, the word is, he's walking next to you. He's walking with you. I'm with you. So just a cool encouragement, guys. Please be encouraged by that. The Lord, he's not some impersonable, you know, force, like from the Hindu religion, like in Star Wars, the force be with you, God is with you, like he's some impersonal force. That's not what we're talking about. He is a person, and he is with you the whole time. You know, let's remember that. So for the rest of this chapter, Joshua, he's going to address a couple people. You know, and really, you know, I think God kind of gives a rebuke here. Let's look at it. In verse 10, it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. He says to these officers, pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare you, my King James says, victuals, just supplies. I'm kind of glad we don't use that word anymore for, you know, talking about supplies, food, snacks, you know. Say, good, you know, can you pass me, get me some victuals from the store? Man, thank goodness that went out of style. Prepare you victuals, snacks, because within 3 days you're going to pass over this Jordan. And notice, you know, this is coming from Joshua now. Lord's no longer speaking. This is coming from Joshua. As a leader, man, what an inspiration. He's like, guys, it's already done. We're going to pass over this Jordan. You know, I guess I'll put a plug in for, you know, leading by example. You know, if we're preaching to people, you know, and we want them to follow our lead, you know, how are we going to do it if we haven't been there first ourselves, right? You know, so we have standards in our homes, in our community, but I'm telling you, if we haven't gone there and done it ourselves, you say, hey, spend time with the Lord and pray, but you never spend time with the Lord and pray, I'm telling you, your words are going to be empty, because by the Spirit of God, it's not going to have any effect. We have to go there first, as leaders, as an example. But he said that, guys, you're going to pass over Jordan. He says, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. And then he says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua. Saying, so there's just obviously three of the tribes, or half of one. Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. And he says to these guys, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest, and he's given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, specifically, and help them until the Lord has given your brothers rest, as he's given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God gives them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. So obviously that's east. So Joshua's saying, okay, we're on this side Jordan, guys. There's on the east side of the Jordan River. So what is he talking about? What's going on? The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, they go through their wilderness wandering. They come, and they finally come to the edge of the promised land, and then they're looking around where they're at and say, hey, this place is pretty nice. Kind of like it over here. Hey, Moses, you think, we got a lot of cattle. We like it here. It's pretty. Now, we see the promised land over there and everything. We get what you're trying to do. God bless you, but we really want to stay here because we like it. It's nice. Please let us stay here. Thank you. Moses, by the Lord, said, all right, you stay here. He says, but when the time comes that we're going to pass over, your wives, your children, your cattle are all staying on that side. They're not going over. And, the Lord left some soldiers there to protect them. He said, all your mighty men of valor, the real zealous, crazy guys with swords, he says, those guys are going to pass over, and they're going to fight. And he said, they're going to go before your brethren. They're going to go in first. And they're not going to come back to your families until everyone else has been given rest, until all the fighting's done, all the land is conquered, then they're going to head back home. There's a whole group of people that don't see their fathers for over 7 years, which is something to consider. So what was the Lord saying this, guys? First of all, I think it is important. We are our brother's keeper. Aaron, recently we went over the Cain and Abel, right? And that big thing, when Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord didn't even grace that question with a response. It was because it was so disgusting. Of course we're our brother's keeper. Of course we should watch out for us, watch out for our brothers and sisters. Care for them. Get, poke at them. What's going on? You're acting funny. What's up with you? I noticed it's when you see something's wrong, and your brother or sister, guys, we see each other multiple times a week, and you don't say something, man, it's the times that something happens, there's a tragedy, they go and do something that they regret, that you think, man, if I had followed the Lord, if I had just said something, we are our brother's keeper, we are our sister's keeper. Think about that. So I think that that's there, just their responsibility to go with their brothers. But more than that, guys, these people, they hung out on the other side of the Jordan. They're selling themselves out, okay? You have a whole group of people. You have two whole tribes and half a tribe, okay? They never go through the Jordan River. They never see the Jordan River stand up on a heap like the Hoover Dam, but without the concrete. You know what I mean? They never see Jericho, a double-walled city. They never see the walls fall down, except for one little part with a red rope hanging from it. Okay? They never fight huge armies and see great hailstones fall on them and crush their enemies. They never see, a federation of, five nations come against them and see them slaughtered. They never see the sun literally stand still in a valley. they don't get to see, they don't ever see the promises of God. They never take part in them. And think about what that did to them, guys. That's the region that was conquered by, you know, the Assyrians first. That's the region when Jesus was preaching to them. That's the land of the Gadarenes, right? Tribe of Gad. Given over, it was considered Gentile territory. So consider the consequences. These guys, they saw the promises of God. They said, hey, Lord, you know, and we can say this too. Hey, I'm saved. I'm safe. I get the whole, you know, onward, forward. I get the whole sanctification thing. I get that you want me to, you know, pursue you, you know, that I'm supposed to be an example to the world. I'm part of your church, but, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I'm here. I like it over here. And they never entered in, guys. They never entered into the promised land. So what am I trying to say? You know, we can be there too. We can get to that place where, you know, we just sell out short. You know, all that God has for us, you know, his blessings, right? Peace, joy, everything else that comes out with that. Seeing friends and family saved, I mean, it's a blessed life. Yeah, not without its challenges, not without its giants, right? Not without its Jerichos, huge issues, things that we have to, you know, seek the Lord about, how, you know, they have to be conquered by faith. But please hear me out, guys. The consequences are huge. Compromise, right? We heard about that the other Sunday morning. This is what this really is. Compromise, you know, not only did never see the promises, but there's just no care for the will of God. No care whatsoever. If I ever get to the point where it's my will competing against God's will, man, I'm toast. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Not just to your faith, to your whole family. We're literally a bomb waiting to go off. Completely unstable. So just consider that, guys. These guys never passed over. They never entered the promises. There were long-lasting consequences from that. So that's what Joshua is requesting. They come over, and they do what they promised to do. In verse 16, it says, they answered Joshua, saying, Joshua, all that you command us to do, we will do. Whithersoever you send us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, Joshua, so we will hearken unto you. Only the Lord thy God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that does rebel against your commandment and will not hearken unto your words and all that you command him, he shall be put to death. Only, and this is what they say to their commander, be strong and have a good courage. You know, obviously that's the last time we hear of it, but that is a powerful, powerful tool, guys, to use. Encouragement, you know, a good pat on the back. It's a powerful tool, but we don't want to get to the place where we live off that. You know what I mean? Where we live off of someone else's encouragement. You know, I believe in you. I believe in you. You're doing a great job. But man, what a powerful tool to come alongside someone at the right time and encourage them and say, "Hey, the Lord be with you. Be strong and courageous. Trust in the Lord your God." You know, live a life of faith. Step out in faith. I know this is tough, but man, trust in the Lord. So that's what they encourage their commander to do. The rest of Joshua, it's a great book. See awesome stuff. We see Rahab, the great-grandmother of King David. A lot of awesome stuff. So that's where we're going to stop tonight. So I pray that the Lord spoke. So what does all this mean, guys? We're Christians, you know, we've been saved out of our own Egypt. There's promises that God has brought us into, but it's a life of faith. And that's a choice, and we have to go there. There is a role, a specific role that God has given us to do. And a lot of times, you know, we can't see the end of it, but trust me, the Lord will be faithful. Serve the Lord, because that's what we've been called to do. We haven't been called to be saved and then stay on the other side of Jordan, guys, as it were. We're meant to, you know, walk out by faith, trust the Lord. So I just encourage you guys, continue. Whatever it is that the Lord has you doing, just, you know, let's do it faithfully. All right, let's pray in fellowship. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it just speaks to us, Lord God. We hear from Joshua, Lord God, a man who lived a long time ago. But Lord, we see his life, God. We see a nobody who grew up in Egypt, Lord God, who grew up in slavery, grew up seeing his dad with whip marks on his back, grew up just a nobody, God. And by your grace, he started serving you, Lord. And near the end of his life, he was the leader of a nation. Only you can do that, God. We praise you, God, for your word. We just ask that you would move in our lives, God, that you would help us walk out in faith, Lord God. Help us be obedient. Help us be doers of your word. Help us meditate on your word. Just talk with you all day long, morning and night. So we ask that you would help us do that, God. We pray that you would just be gracious to us, Lord, as we grow in grace. And in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you please be with us as we fellowship? And we ask a blessing on the rest of our week. And Lord God, may we go out, Lord God, applying your word and being edified and built up. We pray a blessing on this congregation and our church. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.